Okay, so we're about to begin a new sugya. So the Gemara follows in the footsteps that we spoke about in the previous sugya, that there's a din of abodeh tzorach shivarech. So now the Gemara asks the next obvious question, so what is that bracha going to be? What's the mischa bracha? So the Gemara begins at the top of the first Gemara Mekoymes, Amar Vida Boi Tzorach Shivarech, Mai Mevarech, Rav Papa Yom Mishpeh Derava Levarech Chometz, Rav Papa Mishpeh Derava Al Bir Chometz. A seemingly insignificant question as to what the nusach of the brach is going to be, as we're going to see in the next couple of days and weeks. So this machlokes sets off an entire array of discussions, shailas on their deraistical levels, their abundantical levels, so many intricacies of hilchos mitzvahs and brachas are going to revolve around this question: what is the correct text of the bracha for any given mitzvah? But when it comes to Bidikas Chometz and the Hilgam Aroyim, the two Tamidim of Hokim of Rava, of finding it out, what did the Rebbe say? Everyone says Rava said something, we're not sure what he said. Did he say Al Bir Chometz? Did he say Levar Chometz? So Gemara goes on to explain. Bilavayer, Kuleyamala Pligi, Devad Labo Mashma. Everybody agrees that the text of Levar Chometz is fundamentally correct. Because based on Diktuk, and you see from this Gemara that Diktuk is important, the Chazal did not ignore the Diktuk part, that the word le, the letter le, has the connotation of l'habo mashba, which would be exactly what we want to do when we make brachas, because as we're going to discuss, hopefully in great detail, there is a cloud of brachas called a mitzvah mevarach over lasiyosim. So we know when we're going to recite the bracha. We're definitely going to proceed with the bracha and then follow that with the mitzvah itself. So therefore, in the world of pure diktuk, le for sure makes sense, because that's l'habo mashba. It's not clear is whether the word al has the connotation of marsava mekar mashu, marsava labo mashba. So Rav Papi said that you cannot make the bracha al bir chometz, because that's going to give off the wrong impression. Al bir is dafka referring to something that you did already, and that's not correct. So therefore, according to Rav Papi, you have to say with a lavad la levar chometz. And Rav Papi says no, Rav Papi says that's also labo mashba. It's okay, you can even say al bir if you want. So our sugya is going to begin with the following nekuda that the Rishon extract from this sugya, very, very clear, that when you see the word leh, when you see that letter leh, you know that that's talking about labo. That's obvious. Whether al is labo, not labo, that's subject to debate. But you see the letter leh, you see a bracha formulated with the wash of leh, you know that it's going to mean something which is in the future. And it is this observation that led the Rashbam, although Tosfos in our sugya quotes it from the Rashba, I suspect that there's a Tosfos there. I suspect it's the Rashbam. I don't know. We don't have any record of the Rashba. The Rashba is the two Rashbas. This Rashba, if it's a Rashba, it's the Rashba, the Balei of Tosfos, which is the Rash Bishans. We don't know that the Rash had any comment upon this. It was known as the Rashbam, as the Rebbeinu Shmuel Shita, so I suspect that there's a Tosfos in the Tosfos presented here, because in Shabbos, Tosfos calls it for Rebbeinu Shmuel from the Rashbam. So we're going to call it the Rashbam. It's based on this observation that the Rashbam made the following statement, the halacha. There is a famous sugya at the end of Masechet Shabbos, and the second of Mamakomis, about different brachas that are recited at the time of a bris, a regular bris. We're not up to Milas Geir, Milas HaFadim, not regular, plain and simple bris. So there are a whole array of brachas that are recited. There are actually three different brachas that are recited. One is Al Hamila, one is Lachnisa Lishas Lamavino, and one is Karis HaBris. So right now, the Rashbam is focusing on the bracha Lachnisa Lishas Lamavino. So says the Rashbam, when you're at a bris, and you want to know when to recite this bracha, it's Avi Abayim Bevarich. The father recites a special bracha Lachnisai. Says the Rashbam, just look at Pesachim Nevzayim. The Gemara just said that the Lord, the letter Le, Lamed, is always Labo Mashma. So for Shneitzach, you have to recite Lachnisa before the bris. It's a no-brainer, says the Rashbam. The Gemara said, Befei Shemsach Dav Zayin, Kuliyam Al-Pligi, Le is Labo Mashma. And the Nuscha, the Brach, is Lachnisa. So of course, Lachnisa must precede the bris. So the Rashbam has to do a little bit of acrobatics on this one. You know why? Because it's not so simple to say, practically, that Lachnisa is supposed to precede the bris. Because there is another bracha that also precedes the bris. That we know for a fact. Which bracha for sure precedes the bris? No matter what text you're going to use, there's no shaila whatsoever, this bracha is going to precede the bris. Which is that? The bracha for the meal itself. The Gemara says in Shabbos, that before you get to Karas HaBris, there are two brachas. There's the bracha ala mila, or lamos habayim, whatever you think the nusach is. That's the regular, plain and simple bracha mitzvah that relates to the mitzvah of bris mila. And then there's this additional bracha that's not said by the moil. It's said by the av yabei. So it's a different kind of a bracha. That's the bracha lachnisai. So there's no question that the seid hadvarim in a regular standard bris is going to be the bracha recited by the moil, which is the same as any other bracha mitzvah. That's for sure going to precede the bris. So when the Rashbam just told us now that lachnisa also has to precede the bris, so the Rashbam just put us into a quandary, just put us into a pickle. Why? Because we have two brachas that must precede the bris, but which must precede each other. So we know that the last thing that happens here is the bris itself, the cutting of the oil itself. That's the last thing to occur. And two brachas have to precede that, but it's unclear what the seid hadvarim should be between those two brachas. Does anyone have even a latest asofik that the bracha of alamila recited by the mohel must be the last thing recited before the bris is done? Not even a shayla. Why? That's a pichas mitzvah. That's like saying, I'm going to say l'adich tefillin and then I'm going to do a dance. I'm going to say the shemokal shayfer and I'm going to say a perkel tefillin. Kliyamu l'pligi, that the bracha of alamila itself, that does the pichas mitzvah. So that for sure is going to precede the bris. If the Rashbam is telling you now, Knukapeid that we never heard of, that Lachnisa must also precede a bris, because otherwise you're going to stare the Lashon of Leh. If that's the case, so where's the Lachnisa going to be? It can't be after the Alamila. That's going to be a hefsek between the Alamila and the bris itself. So, Leis Breira, where is the Lachnisa going to have to be? If you want it to be before the bris, it's going to have to be what? Before Alamila. So that's a little bit of a problem. You know why that's a little bit of a problem? Because that's not what the Gemara says. Because the Gemara says Shabbos says Tan Rabbanan Hamal Oyim Yashek Yidishan Mitzvah Avi Abayna Yashek Yidishan Lachnis Yidishan Mavino. So the order is wrong. If the Rashbam is right that he's being makbid that you have to have Lachnis or precede the bris, and there's no way in a million years it's going to be after the Alamila, because you can't have a hefsek to the Alamila and the bris itself. So Leis Breira, you have to put it before the Alamila. So that's not what the Gemara says in Shabbos. The Gemara says the Farish, Alamila comes before the Hachnisai. So what did the Rashbam do to solve that problem? Everyone realized that problem. The Rashbam had a logistical, had a technical problem, a textual problem. How did Rashbam solve that problem? He said, we have the wrong gear, so in the Gemara Masechah Shabbos. If you take a look at the third of the Maramei Kemes, Taisus quotes him in Shmuel Goris, Avya ben Beresh, Ba'adar Ba'alomer. So Rashbam says, you have the wrong text in the Gemara. What it's supposed to say in the Gemara is, Tan Rabbanan, Avya ben Omer Sheki Dishan Lach Nisoi, V'achakach Omer Hamal Sheki Dishan Val Amila, V'achakach Moyel. Says the Rashbam, not only, it says Taisus, not only did the Rashbam think this theoretically, not only did the Rashbam have a different gear, so, that was the custom that the Rashbam did. So, what prompted the Rashbam to turn the world upside down, to in a sense be the girsa, to stick lachniso at the very beginning before anything else starts? He was so concerned with our washing of Gemara that's lit is Labba Mashma. That's the only thing that was bothering the Rashbam. Yeah. Well, okay, don't ask from other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs are so, everything's going to be complicated, okay? So, up till now, the only thing that was prompting the Rashbam to turn the world upside down, till all the Moilim, they were doing everything backwards, was a very, very technical, grammatical issue. Diktuk. Leh. Is labo. So lachmiso has to precede the mila. Is there anything else that was bothering the Rashbam? Rashbam wasn't just a great Balmadaktik, he was a Balmadaktik. But was there anything else bothering the Rashbam? There was a halachic concern of the Rashbam as well. What was the halachic concern of the Rashbam? So Tosfos spells it out in Masechet Shabbos, and they talk about, they address it in Masechet Pesachim as well. Let's go back to the third of Maamar Kamis for a second. So Taisa says in the third line, the Ode, the Chalabitzas Mevarchalein, Havelasi also. Says the Rashbam, I have another reason, perhaps even a more compelling reason, a halachically compelling reason, to insist on putting Lachnisa before the actual bris itself, because the Gemara is about to tell us in Pesachim Dazayin, Kol HaMitzvah Sevrachim HaVelasi Yosod. You always have to make the bracha before the mitzvah. Every once in a blue moon we'll find an exception to that rule, but generally the rule is that Tefillin, you make the bracha before you tie the knot, Shofar before you blow the shofar, Matzah before you eat the matzah. That's the general rule. Kol HaMitzvah Sevrachim HaVelasi Yosod. So says the Rashbam, the bracha of Lachnisa is also a brachas HaMitzvah. How do I know it's a brachas HaMitzvah? What's the dead giveaway to brachas HaMitzvah? Asher kiddushon mitzvah simtivon. It sounds pretty brachas HaMitzvah to me. So what the Rashbam is basically telling you, there are really two different brachas HaMitzvahs for me. Well, why is that? I have no idea why yet. But the Rashbam is clearly saying that Lachniso is a regular brachas HaMitzvah, and it's subject to the regular kolam comments, the brachas HaMitzvah also. So lady's birth, of course it has to be before the mitzvah. So now the Rashbam has two tainus. He has two reasons to defend his practice of flipping the order, because the dictum warrants it and the halacha warrants it. I, the Gersa doesn't warrant it, the Gersa's wrong. Benafichu. So where do we find that we make a bracha on a mitzvah and then we dray around with something else and then we do the mitzvah? Very, very rarely. We find by Shechayanu. We have to hang in there for that. Shechayanu's down the line. So, Ad Kan Divrei Rashbam. Oh, so you're turning the tables on the Rashbam and say, wait a second, according to you, Rashbam, that both Alamila and Lachnisa are two birchas mitzvahs. Why in the world are two birchas mitzvahs one mitzvah? I have no idea. But just as the Rashbam couldn't conceive of having a break between the Alamila and the Mila, I have another kasha. How can we conceive of having a break between Lachnisa and Vishalom Avinu and the Mila? That's a good kasha. That's a very powerful kasha. According to the Rashbam, no matter which way you're going, once the Rashbam is willing to commit that they're both birchas mitzvahs, so then why is it so pshigalei that the din of hefsek is so much more compelling by after the alamila than by after the lachnisa? Tachad b'kasha, very very good kasha. So again, that's what he's asking. Also, he says, "You don't even understand what's bothering the Rashbam. Why the Rashbam to mahapech the girsa? Why couldn't the Rashbam have alamila, lachnisa, and then cut off the orla? What was wrong with that? Yeah, that's a good kasha. That's kasha we asked him before." So you're both asking two kashas on the Rashbam, two different kashas on the Rashbam. But again, I'm just presenting what the Halakha Rashbam said. So you can imagine what happened at family bris milas. I mean, the Rashbam are a time of brothers. So no doubt they overlapped the different brisim together. And Rabbi Natan said, yeah. Yeah.
Why is a Shirki Deshanu a Raya? If we say, like, according to the Rush, Shirki Deshanu.
I didn't say anyone disagrees, but if I see a text of a bracha that has the word the Shirki Deshanu Mitzvah Yisrael Tzivanu, my gut reaction would be it's probably Birchas HaMitzvah. I'm not saying there aren't other brachas that start with that text and may have a different status according to some, true, but I hear where the Rashbam is coming from. So Rabbi Natan disagreed with his older brother, the Rashbam. Rabbi Natan learned a lot from the Rashbam. Rashbam was his Rebbe, but many, very often Rabbi Natan disagreed with his older brother, Rashbam. And here both Taisus and Pesachim and Taisus and Shabbos quote the disagreement. It's a little bit more elaborate in Taisus and Shabbos. That's the main sugya. So I put the Taisus and Shabbos on the Maamar Kavitz first. I put the Taisus and Pesachim on also at some point, I hope. Okay? But we'll start tackling Rabbi Natan through the eyes of the way it's presented in Taisus and Shabbos. It's almost identical with slight nuance of difference. So the third line, the Maamar Kavitz, Taisus and Shabbos writes, Rabbi Natan, Hechzer HaMinei L'Kadmusai. Rabbi Natan, when he went to the brisim, he said, no, we're not doing like my older brother did. We're going back to the way my father did it, the way my Zayd did it, the Elta Zayd did it, the way we did it for Dere Deiris. The Goras of Rabbi Natan said the correct girsa was the text that we have in our Gemara, Hamal Bereish HaDeviyabein, Toshkaz Chosvar. So Rabbi Natan said that Rashbam had a girsa, he dug up a girsa somewhere, who knows where, a girsa. that lachnisa was before the person even starts. Says Rabbi Nita. The Seder is the way the Seder is presented in the Gemara and Ad Girsa. And therefore, lachnisa follows al hamila. It's inconceivable that you can have a break between al hamila and the bris. So, you have to conclude that Rashbam thought was inconceivable. And according to Rabbi Adam, it's not only inconceivable, it's actually correct. According to Rabbi Adam, the bracha lachnisa was actually recited after the bris is over. Inochinam. That's exactly what happens, says Rabbi Adam. What the Rashbam said was wrong, hei mitam diktuk, hei mitam halacha. Rabbi Natam says, it's correct. And that's what the old girsa was, and that's what the old practice was, and that's what the new practice is going to be as well. Of course, Rabbi Natam has to address the two concerns of the Rashbam. What happened to the diktuk, what happened to the halacha? So we have a lot of work to do with that. Hopefully that's going to be developed as the sugya unravels. But I want to look at the world now through the eyes of Rabbi Natam. I'm standing at a bris, and Rabbi Natam is being misaved with his bris. So Rabbi Natam is giving instructions to the Mayil. So Rabbi Natam says, Mayil, make a bracha ala mila. He makes a bracha ala mila. Mayil, cut off the early, cuts off the early. 20 minutes later, Rabbi Natam turns around to the father and says, by the way, make a bracha lachnis vishal avim. Good. So that's what a bris looks like according to Rabbi Natam. And again, we have problems. Where's the dikta? Where's the halacha? So the guys who know anything about diktuk, they're screaming, where's the diktuk? The guys who don't know what diktuk is, they're screaming about halacha. The guys who don't know anything, they're already eating the bagels and lox. So everyone has issues here. But we have two real serious issues with Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashbam had two good tainas. Hopefully we'll deflect those tainas as the sugya develops. But I want to begin through the eyes of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam brought a raya to Hishita. Before we address the Rashbam's concerns, Rabbeinu Tam had something that was pushing him in this direction. Not just the gears of the Gemara, there was something else that was chuffing Rabbeinu Tam, was bothering Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam couldn't sleep over. That convinced him that he was right and his older brother was wrong. What was convincing Rabbeinu Tam? What was convincing Rabbeinu Tam was a Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, a very, very cryptic Gemara in Masechah Shabbos, that's subject to different yourselves and different opinions in Rishayim. It does not talk about a regular bris. It talks about a unique kind of a bris of a ger. You know, the Gemara tells us, someone says Yevamah, someone says Krisos, that Bali is Gai, and someone wants to convert. So they have to do whatever Klai Yisrael did, B'shas, Kabbalah Satayra, that's what you have to do also. What did Klai Yisrael do to become Jewish? What did they do? So the Gemara says they did three things. They did Mila. Where did they do Mila? They did Mila in Mitzrayim. Because Kol Or LeYochel Bo, so all the males, how do you receive a bris at the time it's Mitzrayim? So the Gemara in Yevamah and Krisos understood that Mila that was done was not just to enable them to eat Korban Pesach. That Mila was not just to fulfill the mitzvah of bris Mila from Rav Avinu. That was the beginning of the Tahalich. That was the beginning of the process of Geirus. Because Klal Yisrael Be'otziyaches Om Mitzrayim Tavlos Kibbol Harazeh. They were leaving Mitzrayim by Manas to go to Matan Torah. Matan Torah was going to be the Gemara Geirus. So Tchil Sageirus was already the intro to the Geirus was already Itzias Mitzrayim at the time of the Bris Mila. So they did a Milas Geirus in Mitzrayim. Therefore, whenever a goy wants to convert Bisman Hazeh, he has to mimic that Milas Geirus, and he has to have a Milas Shem Geirus. In addition to the Milas Shem Geirus, Klal Yisrael underwent Tevila at the time of Kabbalah Satayra. That's a little bit less clear in the Pesukim. The Pesukim speak in Parshas Yisrael about Mechitzu Bigdeichem, washing their clothing. So the Gemara quotes a Shaila Maseches Yevamos. Did that mean they would Tevil their clothing? Or does that mean they sent their suits to the dry cleaner? What does that mean? Mechitzu Bigdeichem? Means they wash their clothing? They should have clean clothing for Kabbalah Satayra? Or does that mean Mamasha Tevila? So the Gemara says, if you hold that it just meant to dry clean their clothing, so there's nothing to do with Tevila. How can you learn anything about Tevila? But if you hold that it meant they had to tevil the clothing, then we have a right to dash and cover chamer. Madach, they had to tevil their clothing, cover chamer, they had to tevil themselves. The clothing had to be tohor, so of course the bodies had to be tohor. So Gemara says, if you hold that the chibsub dechem doesn't mean Tevila, it means just dry cleaning, so what's the mocha that they went to the mikvah for Matan Torah? It was a different mocha. A totally different mocha. How do you know they went to the mikvah? Then the Gemara says, you have to have kabonos. Was the kabbalists that were brought in Parshas Mishpatim. Those were kabbalists that accompanied the Geirus. The Gemara says, increases of test that Bizmat HaMikdosh, you have to be a korban. There's no korban, so you can become Jewish without the korban. So the Gemara says beferish that all the dinim of geirus that appeared at Yitzias Mitzrayim slash Matan Torah carry over bizman hazeh. The only thing that's interesting, the Gemara doesn't mention is Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. The Gemara in Yevamos talks about a ger being mekabel mitzvahs b'shas geirus, and the Gemara never says, how do you know that? So some Rishonim say, well, how do you know that? That's obvious. Nasa v'nishma was Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. And the Rambam doesn't seem to say that. The Rambam Ruchzi Surabiya, when he presents the requirement of a Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, so the Rambam develops it not so much as part of the process of geirus, but it's the very definition of geirus. The Rambam writes that to be a ger means to be Jewish, to observe mitzvahs. So if a guy's going to say, I want to be Jewish, but I don't want to keep mitzvahs, that's tantamount saying, I don't want to be Jewish. So the Rambam seems to hold that Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is not like meal and tefillah and korban, that are the process of geirus, they're the etzem of geirus itself. So that's lom de sheshalim. When you've almost the fourth parak, you got to figure out the answer to that question. But not for now. So meal and l'shem geirus is for sure going to take place. And the Gemara has a whole discussion, what brachas are going to be recited at the time of milas geirus. So let's take a look at the second of the Marmi Karmis very, very carefully. It's the fifth line, middle of the fifth line. First of all, the line is Bivsarenu. Hamalas Ageru. So the Moyel, who's doing a bris milah for a ger, Omer, Baruch Hashem Elokim Achalai Meshek, Nisham Tzatzor Ala Milah. So first you make a bracha l'milah, like any other milah, because it's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah Hamalas Ageru. It's interesting, where is that mitzvah exactly? We state that mitzvah is a mitzvah kabbal mekabel ger, and the Gemara interprets as a mitzvah mekabel ger. So the Moyel makes the bracha shekin shem tzad ala milah. Va mevarich oimer, and then the mevarich, who's the mevarich? Nobody, anybody. Whoever's there makes the following bracha. Asher kidishonu mitzvaysa v'tzivonu lomu l'sageirum u'lahatif behem dambris shomolei ladambris l'niskayim u'shman v'oretz Shinama and Labris Yobalai Khushman Vartal Sam di Brach Tashem Kari Sabris. Bracha. Wow. Wow, what a wild bracha. That's the bracha that follows the regular bracha Balamila. Then the Brice has a parallel din, Hamal Savodim. If you have a person who is non-Jewish and he's your Evan Kanaini, but he hasn't yet been endowed with Nush Tabi Kanaini. So in order for him to become Kedushas Avod Kanani, Kedushas Avod Kanani is like a mitzvah Kedushas Yisrael, the Rambam writes. So he has to undergo also a process of geirus. So Hamal Savod Debayim, Hashem Kedushas Avod Kanani, Tzvaro Ala Mila, very good. V'mevorech Haim, Hashem Kedushas Avod Kanani, Tzvaro Lomo Savod Debayim, Lachat Leam Dabris, Shavoy Dabris, Baruch Hashem Karei Sabris. So comes a bit of time and says, there is a parallel between Milas Yisrael and Milas Geirim slash Avadim. Geirim Avadim, pretty much the same thing. What's the parallel? Parallels in terms of the brachas. Both Milas Yisrael and Milas Geirim slash Avadim require an Ala Milah, because they're a Maisa Mitzvah, like putting on film, like any Vatas here in Shaifer. And in addition, for some deep, dark secret, there's the second bracha that accompanies both Milas Yisrael and Milas Geirim. The Yisod of the bracha is the same. The engine driving the bracha is the same. We don't know what it is yet, but it's the same. The text is a little bit different, which is rightfully so, because it's a different theme. It's a different mahus. So that second bracha that we find by Milas Yisrael is simply Asher Kedishonu Mitzvayis Yitzvah Lachnisa V'Visa Shalom Avinu. So that bracha makes sense by a Jewish born child, because he's a physical, biological descendant of Avraham Avinu already. So we're being machnis, this Jewish child, into the bris of Avraham Avinu. It's a little bit funny to use that phrase by geirim. You know, even though Avraham Avinu is Avamon Negoim Esaticha, it's true. But by geirim, we use a little bit of a modified nosach. We also hype up a little bit about the bris, and we really, really, you know, razzle dazzle how important the bris is. And the Dam Bris is so chashav. Shomol Dam Bris on his kashrut hearts. We really, 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 publicize how important what we're doing is. Says a bit of time. That second bracha that we recite, Bishas Geirus, Lomos Gel Hatavim Dam Bris, is basically the parallel of Lachnis Vishal Mavinu. It's the same bracha. Again, it's the same in terms of Yisod. It's different in terms of Nusach, in terms of wording, in terms of text. But it's the same basic. It's the second bracha at a bris. Now, it's a little bit funny, that second bracha, Because all of a sudden that second bracha becomes a what? Becomes a what? Becomes a third bracha also. At a regular Milas Yisrael, there are three brachas. There's the bracha of Al Hamila, recited by the mother. There's the Lachnisa, recited by the father. And then there's a third bracha recited by whoever you want to give a kibbutz to, called the bracha of Keres Abris. At a Milas Gerim, for some strange reason, brachas 2 and 3 merge into become 1. It starts out similar to Lachnisa Bariso. It gives a hype about the Dam Bris. And then it concludes with Baruch Hashem Keres Abris, exactly like the Milas Yisrael concludes. So we're not quite sure why the third bracha doesn't appear as an independent bracha of Milas Gerim. That's not a good kasha. But Rabbi Natam says there's no question in Rabbi Natam's mind that that second bracha of Milas Gerim is basically the halacha equivalent of Lachnis of Yisrael Mavir for a regular Jewish kid. So now come to Rabbi Natam and says, okay, when is that bracha number 2 of Gerim, when is that said? Before the bris or after the bris? Whatever the answer to that question is going to impact on when Lachnisa was said, because Rabbi Natam understood Lachnisa and this Lomos Gerim Hatam Da Bris is basically the same bracha. These are both examples of bracha number 2. By Gerim becomes 2 plus 3, but that's not relevant right now. This bracha number 2 by Milas Gerim will serve as a role model for bracha number 2 by Milas Yisrael. So when is this bracha number 2 said? Before or after? Any ideas? Says Rabbi Natam, there's no question in his mind that it's after. It's got to be after. How do Rabbi Natam know it's after? He had two rayas. So let's take a look at Rabbi Natam, back to the third of Rambam, says in Shabbos. This whole part doesn't appear in Taisus Pesach. This whole raya of Rabbi Natam doesn't appear. But in Shabbos it does. So Taisus says, Oid, again, the first word of the Lord is Kishay. The bracha of bracha number 2 by Yegerus is the same as bracha number 2 by Milas Yisrael. There's no way that Rashbam is going to pull off that stunt by Milas Gerim and say, no, that bracha is also before the bris. Rashbam could have theoretically said that. So there's a bit of time. Forget that. That's not an option. You know why? You want to kvetch and you want to change your souls and you want to put Lachnisa before the bris. Okay, I can. You know, what can I do? I don't think you're right, my older brother, but I can't argue with you. You want to put the second bracha of a geirus and put it as a lead off before the bris itself. Look at the text of the bracha. The second bracha by a bris, by geirus, ends with the words keres habris. How can you say with a straight face keres habris if what hasn't happened? There hasn't been a krisus bris yet. We're making a bracha on the signing of a treaty that hasn't been signed yet. So Bishlomer, the Rashbam, you want to stop in, you want to stick in Lachnisa and make it pre-bris and change the world and change the gersa and drive the Milam nuts. Alright, Zolzai. You had two kashas. You had halachic kasha, textual kasha. You had two reasons to do that. But you want to do the same thing by Milas Geiris, just forget it. The words keres habris don't match up. The chozeu achar amila. And then I'll bring you another proof, says Rabbeinu Tam. The Yod. Tamavorech mavorech le'olam achamidach v'amidas chaton. The bracha keres habris that is said by Milas Yisrael, nobody says that's before the bris. That's gore ridiculous. Of course that's after the bris. Even Rashbam agrees that's after the bris. So you see that the bracha number 3 is always post-bris time of the bracha. So that parallel bracha by Milas Gerim, which we have no idea why 2 and 3 merged into 1. I have no idea why it became 1 bracha. But for whatever reason it became 1 bracha, the 3 characteristic of it, bracha number 3 characteristic obviously has to be after the bris, because it's the same as Milas Yisrael. So it is intuitively obvious that by Milas Geirus, this bracha number 2, which is a combination of 2 and 3, is post-bris. So if by Milas Geirus, bracha number 2 is post-bris, that's very good reason to believe that Milas Yisrael is also going to be post-bris. That was Rabbeinu Tam's raya against it. So Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam are sitting at a regular bris. It's a regular Jewish kid, it's their nephew. You want to make it real in your language, Dick? I'll tell you whose bris it is. Anyone know? Who's going to tell me? Who's their nephew? The Reeve. Okay, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Rabbeinu Yitzchak's mother was the sister of Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so they're sitting together at the Riz of Bris. Okay, and the Baal gets up to do the Bris, and the Rashbam says, hey, you better make the says to the father, says to the brother-in-law. He says, you better make Lachniso first. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, don't make Lachniso first. He says, yeah, make Lachniso first. I have two rayas. No, don't make Lachniso first. Can you imagine the fight that's breaking out? Wild. The action going on here. So Rabbeinu Tam says, I'm going to bring you a raya brura that I'm right. You cannot make Lachniso prior to a bris. Remember the last time we did a Milas Geirus? I don't even remember the last time I did a Milas Geirus in Europe in the Crusades. No one was converting to Judaism in the Crusades. Trust me. So, Amol, 50 years ago we did our last Milas Geirus. Remember when you do a Milas Geirus, the parallel bracha lachmiso for sure is after the bris. Because, how can I say curse of bris if it didn't happen yet? And obviously that bracha is connected, brachas 2 and 3 of Yisrael, which is number 3 is for sure after the bris. That was a better time's raya against his brother, against the Rashbam. We don't have any record of the Rashbam's response to Rabbeinu Tam.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Why is Rabbeinu Tam more concerned about the dikta of Kori Sabris than he is about the dikta of Lahakniso? Is it such a big difference?
Rabbeinu Tam is going to explain to you a little bit later why he thought the dikta was irrelevant for Lahakniso. Rabbeinu Tam had different versions as to why he thought it was irrelevant. We'll have to see as we go on. Okay? So Rabbi Sai, everything is hinging on Milas Geira now. We're using Milas Geira, which is the once in a blue moon, as the role model. Just as Milas Geira's Lachniso is afterwards, so to Milas Yisrael Lachniso is afterwards. Rabbeinu Tam was assuming something. He was making an unbelievably controversial assumption. You know what he was assuming? He was assuming that the bracha that we find in Masechah Shabbos, Hamavarech Eimer Shekidishana Mitzvaysa Mitzivana Lomos Agem Lahati Behem Dabris, Shavanarem, is the parallel to Lachniso. Right? The entire theory of Rabbeinu Tam, the entire Rai of Rabbeinu Tam, is hinging on that Nakuda, that bracha number 2 at a bris of a ger is the identical in essence to bracha number 2 at a Milas Yisrael. Anyone have any reason to believe that that's not true? It's nothing to do with the seven brothers. Possible. Anyone have any reason to negate Rabbeinu Tam? I don't have any reason to believe that there is no way in the world that bracha of Lomo Sagev Lama Tamir has anything at all to do with Lachniso. Okay, so you're asking a technical question that would it be appropriate to institute Lachniso by Milas Geiros. I have a much more basic problem. Much more fundamental issue. No. Well, what do you mean? Who's the one who's in? Oh, okay. So I have this funny bracha at Milas Geirus, which smacks a little bit of Lachniso, and the Rabbeinu Tam for sure thought it was Lachniso, and he's using that theory, that equation, to extrapolate from that bracha to a regular Lachniso. I have reason to believe that the Rishonim, I know for a fact, the Rishonim who disagreed lock, stock, and barrel with Rabbeinu Tam's assumption. The Rishonim were of the opinion there's no way in this world that bracha could be Lachniso. I'll tell you why. How do I know whether B equals A? I'm trying to ascertain, is this mysterious bracha at a Geirus, is this just the equivalent of the Lachniso of a regular Yisrael? I'm asking, in effect, is B equal A? No, Rabbi Sekwa, you've been in Shul long enough. How can you discuss whether B equals A unless you know what Lot is? You don't even know what Y A is. What is Lachniso in the first place? Until you can explain to me why in the world you're making Lachniso by regular Milas Yisrael, I can't give you an intelligent assessment whether that bracha should carry over to Milas Geirus or not. So the real sugya of Rebbeinu Tam is running to Milas Geirus, using Milas Geirus as a raya for Milas Yisrael. Stop, hold the phone. I have no idea why I'm making the bracha by Milas Yisrael. So we have to go back in time now. We have to go back to learn a sugya Nuchas Mila now. Why is there a bracha lachnis in Yisrael? It's ridiculous. Why is there a second bracha for? Since when do I make two brachas? I have one mitzvah. Lishmokho Shoif has one bracha. Lishi Besuk has one bracha. Lishmokho Shoif has one bracha. Who ever heard of such a thing? That you make two brachas on one mitzvah. So the Rambam addressed this issue in the sixth of Maamar Kodesh. The Rambam discusses the bracha, the Rambam in Halacha Aleph, per Gimel Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes, Hamal mevorachim shalom shekseves lo alamila, imbal ben chaver, imbal is benoy mevorachim shalom l'mosabein. Hold on for this. This is sugyas down the line. After the bracha is recited vis-a-vis the meal itself, the father recites another bracha, which is the Lashon HaGemara. What's the bracha? Baruch Hashem Elokim Melech Haolam Asher Kishev Tzedek Lachriz V'Shalom Avinu. Good. So the Rambam now feels compelled to explain why this bracha is here. The Rambam didn't have to come to Bashir to realize this is a problem. The Rambam is asking us to ask ourselves, why am I making this bracha? So the Rambam explains why. The Rambam doesn't pose the question, but from his next line, you see, obviously that's what was troubling him. Mitzvah la'av lom was benoy. Yeser al mitzvah shemetzumit yisoh shemul kolor shemenehen. The Rambam just answered the question. The Rambam said, there are two brachas, both brachas are mitzvahs. There are two brachas for Mila, you know why? Because there are two mitzvahs of Mila. There's the general mitzvah to be ma'al ol ha'reilim, himo lachem kozochar. Each and every Jew is responsible to make sure every other Jew gets a Mila. And then there is an additional mitzvah, chayev ha'av lamlos benoi, v'yam l'amrus b'yishuk l'kashitziv al-soy l'kim, g'mar k'dush tev choftes. One of the chiyuv ha'av l'avein is lamlos ha'avein. That is in addition to the regular chiyuv. So a father has a double chiyuv to be ma'al his son. He has a chiyuv b'teres klal Yisrael, b'teres any other Jew, himo lachem kozochar. And he has the mitzvahs pratis, al tzchevis ha'av. And to highlight that second dimension of mitzvah, Chazal instituted an additional brachas mitzvah. Which is exactly why at a regular bris, the moel recites the first bracha. That's the mitzvah on the general mitzvah of Bila. The moel is perfectly capable of performing that mitzvah, therefore he recites that bracha. The second bracha, the moel can't recite the second bracha, because the moel's not doing the second mitzvah. Only the father is doing the second mitzvah. And therefore, the Rambam has the following observation. Lefikach zok the Rambam, im ein sham aviv, ein mevorach lechra brachazu. Then there is no lachnisa. The father's not around, the father's not alive, the father's not from, the father's not living. If the father's not there at the bris, so zol zayin, so there is no lachnisa. That's the shittas of Rambam. The Rambam concedes that there are those who disagree with him. V'yesh mishahayra, there are those who say, shevarach losa bezdin lechem in ha'am. There are others who say, no, let the Beis Din make it, the Rabbi make it, the Tzaddik make it, the Moel make it, the Yenim, the grandfather, someone will make it. The Ein Roi Las is king. The Rambam says, I don't think that's correct. I don't think it's appropriate to do that. So Rabbi say, the Rambam just took a very, very important stand for us on what Lach Niso is and what Lach Niso is not. Lach Niso is a bracha on the mitzvahs ha'av l'omol ha'sabein. It's not a bracha on Mila per se. It's a mitzvah, it's a bracha on the mitzvah sa'av l'amol sabay. If that is true, would it make any sense in the world to have such a parallel bracha by Geirus? There's no father for Geirus. There's no father here. There's a biological father, that's meaningless. There's no father here. He's coming on his own 2 feet to be Megayim. Who's going to make machmisa? What's for machmisa? So since it is clear from this Rambam Hilchos Mila that the bracha of Achniso is absurd to even discuss by Milas Geirus, so what is that second bracha then? So what's the Gemara talking about Masechta Shabbos? What do the words mean? And the Gemara says that first you say Alam Mila, and then you say Alam Osegei L'Hadad Ambrish, Alam Ambrish, blah, 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 blah. What's the goal of that second bracha? According to Rebbeinu Tam, I understand what the goal was. But according to the Rambam, which is going to be part of the deflection of Rebbeinu Tam, so what was the purpose of that bracha by Geirus? So what's the answer? It's clearly not bracha number 2. There's no question about it, but there is no bracha number two. What is it?
The Birkas HaShalach.
It's definitely not bracha number two. What is it? What?
The Birkas HaShalach.
The Shalach. What? When you want to know what the Rambam holds, a good place to look is to see what the Rif held. Because the Rambam's father, Rena Maimon, was a Talmud Muvik of the Rebbe Gash, was a Talmud Muvik of the Rif. So the Rambam writes that 99% of the time, he's going to follow what the Rif said. Every once in a while he disagrees. So if you take a look at the Rif, and the fourth of the Rambam comes, the Rif and Shabbos, the Nehemiah Beis Adapia Rif, fourth of the Rambam comes, Hamalas Agerim Oimer, Baruch Ad Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kidishonu Mitzvayis Mitzivanu Lomo Sagem Hatav Dem Damris. Hamal Savod Oimer, Baruch Ad Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kidishonu Mitzivanu Lomo Savod Hatav Dem Damris. Shumali Damris, the whole Chagadya, Baruch Ad Hashem carries the bris. What just happened? What did the Rif just say? How many brachas are there at Amilas Geirus? Look at the Gemara in Shabbos again, and look at the Rif. Our Gemara text in Shabbos in the second Rambam Kamas was Hamalas Geirim Oimer Brachta Shasher Alamila. Period. Bracha number two. Baruch Oimer Shetir Shalom Lomos Hagel after the numbers. What did the Rif have? He had one and two. What? Combined into one. The bracha l'hatav b'hem d'abris, that whole chagadja, is not l'achmisa, because l'achmisa is absurd by Milas Gerim. There's no father. The Rambam sheet, there's no father. The Teretz is that whole phrase, that whole chagadja l'hatav d'abris is bracha number one. It's just an extension of bracha one. Asher k'nishama mitzvayis l'olam l'sagerim u'l'hatav b'hem. It's one run. Run on sentence according to the Rif and the Rambam. There is no bracha l'achniso. If there's no bracha l'achniso, then whose raya just totally completely fell by the wayside? Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan had this grandiose raya that he said, just as the equivalent of l'achniso by Gerim is after the bris, so too, the real l'achniso is also after the bris, to which the Rif and the Rambam say, what? Stop. Hold the phone a minute. What bracha l'achniso are you talking about by Milas Geirim? There is no bracha l'achniso. That long bracha, that's bracha number one. It's not bracha number two. There is no bracha number two. It can't be a bracha number two because there's no father. So the machlokes Rabbi Natan and the Rashbam about can we extrapolate from Milas Geirim to Milas Yisrael ultimately goes back to what your gears was in the Gemara on Shabbos. The Rif and the Rambam had a different gears of Pesach Shabbos than we have. There was one bracha, not two brachas. I'm sorry, so any question? So I say, we have a lot of work still to do on this. Yeah, it's a... No, well, for Milas Yisrael, we can't tell. We don't know where the chronology is. We don't know where the place in the bracha is, because the Rashbam is claiming it's after, it's before the Rebbe Natan claiming after, we don't know. So Rebbe Natan pulled the fast one on his brother. He said, I can't prove to you from Milas Yisrael, but I can prove to you from the parallel bracha of Milas Geirus, because of the Lashon Kara Sefrista got stuck in. So Rebbe Say, we have a lot more to do to fine-tune Milas Geirus, the bracha Milas Geirus, because that is setting the stage or not setting the stage for Milas Yisrael. So we got a lot of work to do on the sugya. We barely scratched the surface. So what we have already accomplished is we saw the Rashbam turn the world upside down and change the Nuscha Bracha, change everything that's switched around because the Rashbam was bothered with Agamor. Pesachim Dev Zayin caused the Rashbam to turn the world upside down in Mila because of the Dictic problem and then because of the Halachic problem. We have no idea how Rabbi Natan responded to those two times of the Rashbam. We know that Rabbi Natan did make a big, big fuss about keeping the Lachmiso afterwards, and he paralleled it after Geirus, and he showed his rise why. And now we're questioning the comparison, the extrapolation of the Rabbi Natan, because we're not even sure what it's doing by those Geirus. We're not even sure it exists by those Geirus, and we have reason to believe the Rif and the Rambam didn't even think it exists by those Geirus. So we still have a lot more to do both in terms of Milas Gaelus, hopefully, and in terms of Milas Yisrael, to try to put these pieces of the puzzle together to figure out where the proper placing of Achnisa was in light of the Sugs and Shabbos, the Sugs and Pesachim, etc. Okay, we'll do a little bit of Devei Chizuk at the end.